have to read up on that a little bit more. That sounds very, very interesting. So again, there's another incident there with, as you're saying, with bears. They still haven't come to a conclusion of what was going on with those. Plenty of theories, but they really don't know. Same as with the orcas right now. All right, thank you for that. Hey, this is BA3KX. Name is Ken. I'm from TechNet, and I'm translating for Toronto, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to join us, if you have a comment, come on in. This next one about COVID-19 and the excess mortality study was retracted because of misinformation that was in it. There's no accusations of intentional misinformation, but just the way the data was accumulated and interpreted. Dropping. And then we got about three more after this before we tie the ribbons for another science map. So if you'd like to join us, come on in. And let's hear one about COVID-19. Still learning lots about COVID-19. It was a novel virus, and it's going to take many more years before they finally come to settlement on a lot of the issues that that occurred during that pandemic. If you'd like to join us, come on in.
From the get-go, I've been calling him Dr. Foxy. 111 times, no comment, yeah right, KB3JQQ.
And VA3KX, and he's certainly having his issues right now, unfortunately. This is a study. This came out. This study came out that it covered more than 3 million deaths across 47 countries. And this was from 2020 to 22. And it was published in the BMJ Public Health in June 2024, where some reports presented it as evidence that vaccines have contributed to these huge, huge numbers of deaths. Dropping. In June 2026, the paper was defended before a U.S. Senate subcommittee. A couple months later, BMJ retracted it, saying that the paper had not clearly outlined the limited nature of of its analysis. The original study used all-cause death data available through what's referred to our world in data for 47 countries and what was referred to as the Western world. All cause mortality reports, that reports all deaths, regardless of the cause, while excess mortality reports deaths above what would be considered normal during a specific period. Data from January 2020 to December 2022 showed, from calculations, 3,098,456 deaths. The highest total annual from 2021, when 1.26 million excess deaths were noted. That data from 2022 was preliminary and incomplete. Authors of the report discussed COVID-19 infectious measures to contain it, and vaccination programs as possible contributors to all those deaths. However, because of the study's limit, it cannot determine how many deaths, if any, were linked to each of those aspects. Dropping. The BMJ issued an expression of concern that the research looked at the mortality trends instead of their causes. It was found that the paper gave too much attention to vaccines and containment measures as causes of excess mortality and providing not enough attention to other causes. And the retraction, it doesn't accuse authors of making up total death. Instead it points to how the results were framed and described the study's limitations. And the VA3KX, and to the Science and Tech Night. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment about this last one here, come on in, and then we'll get into another one after this. We've got about two more after this one before we tie the ribbons here tonight.
KG6GIAJ is time for the last one.
Dave, come on in.
KG6GIAJ. So in looking at the diversity of geography and the age, the possibilities of chemical factors or diets or lifestyles or even the DNA chemistry, there's so many variables that seem to not be categorized as well as what chemistry was given with the vaccine or type of vaccine and at what stage of the illness. So it's too loose a scatter of aiming at the statistics to get any good usable data out of it. Whereas we probably know more about the what happened with the Black Plague as to who was exposed and age groups and whatever, people somehow survived that one, which I'm sure was not very scientifically registered at the time of the 1600s, but it's sad that more studies could not be done, or maybe they could, as to what all the variables were. You know, when it happens, you're trying to get rid of it, but you're not trying to study it. So that's kind of sad. The data might have been lost. KG6GIAJ.
And this is EA3KEKEX. Yeah, very good point you're making there, particularly with COVID, too. I mean, there's so many variabilities that were going on even prior to people getting the vaccinations that weren't taken into consideration. For instance, even the myocarditis that was suspected to be caused by some of the vaccinations. Yes, it can. It can cause myocarditis. But the effects of the virus itself will be far worse than what the vaccine was causing. However, some of these myocarditis, what they're suggesting with some of the cases of myocarditis is that these were people who were either prone to myocarditis or who were in the early stages of developing anyways, and because there was such a widespread program for vaccination, as if they were just showing up in the statistics at that point in time, same as some people who were having other adverse effects. There were other things that were going, morbidity going on with their health at the same time that wasn't showing up until they were going
to
the vaccination.
Time out.
A lot of variables going on with the vaccine that weren't taken into account, and the vaccine was therefore being labeled as causing all these horrible deaths. The data on this again, but I think the viral vector vaccines will pose a far greater risk of even blood clots being formed by these vaccines. I don't believe the mRNA. I have to look this up, but I don't believe the mRNA vaccines were causing any thrombotic experiences with people. I think it was maybe some of the vector-borne vaccines that were used for COVID that were causing some of this at the time. But they've learned a lot. They've learned a lot since the time of the pandemic. And of course, it was a novel virus. They're learning as they're going along. They're going to continue learning now. And this is how science works. I mean, people were blaming science about the pronouncements they're making during the time of COVID and how those pronouncements are changed over time. But that's how science works. It works by trial and error, and you build on what you've learned in the past or what you failed on in the past to give better data and results going forward. this is EH3KX, and this is Science and Tech. If you'd like to join us, and this next one, or if you have a comment for the last topic too, you're welcome to comment on that, or if you just like to join us. But the next one here is about a star. It's called Caddy Star, and it's got a dimming and brightness periodicity that tends to befuddle scientists. And they've got a few explanations for it, and they've even thought of the possibility that some alien technology is causing this dimming of this star, which is referred to as KIC 8462852. Anyways, if you'd like to join us, and if you have a comment, come on in. And this star, it's referred to as Caddy Star, and it's more than 1,400 light years from Earth, and has been a huge puzzle for astronomers over the years. And the star shows very prominent periods of dimming and brightening, and scientists can't quite figure out why. Variable stars do this, but this particular one has some interesting things going on, but we really can't study. It doesn't fall into the same category as some of the other stars. So KIC 8462852, it was actually discovered around 1890, and the dimming was first reported in 2016. That research was published in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society. Astronomy. And the Caddy Star's unusual dips in brightness were originally observed by citizen scientists associated with planet hunters who had access to NASA's Kepler mission data. And Caddy Star, it dips in brightness by about 20% from time to time and is ever so slightly brighter than the Sun. And the dimming and brightening happens sporadically, lasting days or even weeks. And one of the prevailing theories for the dimming had to do with material passing in front of the star. And another theory suggests that the cycle was a result of alien megastructure orbiting the star in the form of Dyson swarm. Dyson swarm is a hypothetical semblance of orbiting solar panels. And the concept originated with physicist Freeman Dyson. He envisioned that the structure would be able to harvest the star's energy for an advanced civilization. Dropping. More likely, the dimming is a product of an uneven dust ring around the star. And this is from a study published in the Astrophysical Journal back in 2017. And the dust ring is a good explanation for a long-term dimming, but it doesn't explain the short-term. So they're no further ahead, really. So they really don't know as of yet what's going on with the dimming there. Some suggestions, including the one of them I mentioned here, was a Dyson swarm. And this is another way, I'm just mentioning that, this was another possibility for looking for extraterrestrial life, intelligent life in space, by looking at stars dimming and brightening. And it could be an indication of a Dyson swarm or a Dyson sphere, encasing a star where advanced civilization is using the star's energy as its entire source of energy to keep their civilization going. And this is the A3CAX. And two more here for this evening before we tie the ribbon. If you'd like to join us, if you have a comment, come on in. And the next one is about structures inside the building blocks of atoms might dictate matter and antimatter imbalances. And this is one of the things that perplexed scientists that are studying the evolution of our universe, cosmologists, astronomers, astrophysicists. One of the questions is, why did matter and antimatter that were created equally, or basically equally, or at the same time in your universe, why didn't they annihilate instantaneously so that the universe would have stopped long before it began? However, baryonic matter prevailed, and antimatter lost out, which is why we're here where we are. So no one understands why this is discrepancy, why baryonic matter was able to dominate antimatter. Anyway, before we get into this one, if you'd like to join us, have a comment, come on in, and then about the internal building blocks of atoms.